The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
10 minutes after 7, anytime I have some questions about some high-tech doings and high-tech stinkiness, I always like to talk with Jason Shepherd. Jason Shepherd's the founder of Wimken Social Media, also the fentanyl test. And by the way, what is the fentanyl test, given the fact that we're drowning in fentanyl just about everywhere right now? I've talked with you about that before, Jason, but just remind people of what you're doing. It's a more inexpensive test available out there for people to dip stuff, right?
Actually, it's the first FDA-cleared dip card test. It tests down to 1 nanogram, which is the lowest that you can have, honestly, by it's kind of funny, but by law, because anything lower will be a false positive for court. But we also have the world's only 1 nanogram harm reduction test that does not require dilute substance. Really groundbreaking stuff with that that we're, believe it or not, getting into major politicians' hands. So there'll be some huge news coming out with that very shortly.
Oh, really? Is this something that you can buy retail, or that parents can buy retail if they wanted to test something just out of curiosity? Or is this something which is going to be more of institutional kind of purchases, that kind of use?
You know what? We wanted to it starts with the institution in terms of the actual addiction, because people are seeking out fentanyl in prisons and on probation and parole because they don't get tested for it because it's too expensive to send it to a lab, all that jazz.
Oh, I didn't think about this. So you'd be giving it. So you're hoping that parole officers buy this and then keeping the people out of prison clean. Got it. Okay.
Exactly, because they circumvent, and then we're already in Rite Aid, but the prices in there are really retail. It's insane how much they mark it up. But on our website, they're only $18.99 for the ad, and they are only you can get 5-pack strip tests for only $19.99 as well. So we don't want to hurt anybody with them. We actually want to save lives. So it's all out there for the general on thefentanyltest.com. Or you can get them right now in Rite Aid and Walmart.
Okay, very good. Hey, I've also talked to you in the past about one of your other ventures, which is Date on the Right, in which you get together and you can actually find conservative people that, you know, rather than being thrown out into the land of perverts in many other dating sites, right?
Yep.
That kind of thing. How's that working out?
It's actually going well. We finally got our approval on Apple, so we've been a little bit with the fentanyl test aspect and some Wimken things. So, we are live in the app stores. We just have not really pushed it so far in terms of marketing yet. We've only been on the app store for about 2 weeks.
So. Oh, okay, all right. Still kind of. Well, I'll talk with you about that at another time. Now, the reason I wanted to bring you on this morning, I just wanted the people to catch up with what you're doing. You're doing so many things. I really appreciate what you're up to here. Am I right to be suspicious anytime I see the head of a major social media platform or channel of some sort, like the Telegram guy, arrested in France the other day? Of course, this is the same day, I think, that Zuckerberg was talking about, hey, I'm really sorry. I'm really, really sorry that I bent the knee to the Biden administration. But is there anything stinky about this?
So you are definitely right to answer your first question there, that, you know, you're right to be suspicious. I mean, everything we've seen, from the Twitter files with FBI having residency fees, agencies having pretty much carte blanche to any access that they wanted. And yeah, like you said, Zuckerberg came out pretty much the same day and said, we're sorry about, work with them. But in terms of this Telegram aspect, I mean, France is one of the worst right now in terms of how hard they're coming. Thierry Breton is spearhead of the Digital Services Act, which is a European Union, kind of a restrict act type deal here, but it's really designed just to censor, individuals that they don't agree with. But there are some legs to this, to be honest with you, in this, at least in this investigation. I mean, I don't use it. I never have used it because, first and foremost, how it's designed.
Telegram account. And I started using it, and frankly, I couldn't figure out how I would find it useful, so I just stopped. It just didn't speak to me for whatever reason. But still.
Here's the thing. I mean, I'm almost kind of glad you didn't like it, because there's channels in there, and there's sub channels to where it is littered and literally just overrun with child pornography and almost like things you would see on the dark web, you know, through an onion router. I mean, it's because there's absolutely no moderation. I'm inclined to say if you know, Pavel Durov, if he knew that this was there, which there's no there, I mean, I can't really feel for the guy. I personally can't because, you know, we have been attacked on Wimkin with child pornography. We actually have, you know, cooperated with authorities to get these individuals. One down in Philadelphia, we caught them through a track. You know, they uploaded it with a track phone, but we were able to go to T-Mobile and, you know, find an individual down to a serial number. So, you know, there's so much out there. There's so many people trying to do so many things. But I can guarantee you that that back-end team, including, you know, the CEO and the designers of this, you know, platform, they know that that stuff exists. And it's criminal to keep it there. So I'm torn with it. You know, I'm all for free speech, as you know, but okay. I don't allow pornography or child pornography.
Okay. Well, see, I'm glad that you actually set me straight on this one, because anytime I hear the state, and I'm talking about the state as in government, saying, well, it's been used in money laundering and drug trafficking and other offenses. And, you know, they're the same sort of people that are always going out there saying, and by the way, we want to give you a central bank digital currency because there's never any crime online. Only crime is with you spending cash. You know, I'm always suspicious. And I can't help it. When I see a CEO of a social media platform getting arrested, it's usually because they refuse to spy enough for the state. It's kind of what I'm worried about. And am I wrong about that, do you think, with Telegram or not?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. I really think that everyone should be very suspicious of everything nowadays. And, you know, I really hope that, honestly, he didn't know that that stuff was on his platform. But, I mean, when you have now 900 million users, you have to seriously take it. You have to take it seriously. You have to make sure that stuff's not going to be on your platform, because if they're utilizing your platform as a vessel to commit crimes, and we're talking about human trafficking, we're talking about child sex trafficking, right, we're talking about child pornography, we're talking about drugs and ammo. You know, there's a lot going on in there, and you know, it doesn't take much to shut that down. But you know, I hope that I'm wrong. I hope they do shut those things down. I don't believe they do, but you know, I trust me. From what we've seen with us, you can go to jcshepherd.com. That's my personal website, and go under Jason's Fight for You, and you will see what the federal government tried to do with us. The House Select Committee on January 6th. I've posted Benny Thompson's demands from us directly on that committee, and what he asked for. I'm not even joking. Every single piece of information on every user, down to credit card numbers, down to phone numbers, down to private messages. And we said, no, we're not doing it. So we've seen it firsthand, and it's scary. It really is.
And that's what I was thinking. I was thinking about your experience when I'm seeing that Pavel Durov ended up being arrested. It's just like, okay, if you cut a deal with us and you let us show us your backbone and everything else that's going on with your app, and then maybe we'll go easy on you. You see, my concern here, and this is where I'm really worried, and I don't know if I'm misplaced or not, because Elon Musk, for good or for bad or whatever it is, has actually turned Twitter X now into a kind of a semi-free speech platform, much more than it was before. It's not perfect, but it's certainly more free speech and certainly more friendly to conservatives than it once was. I think you could agree with how that's been redesigned. But if they're going to come after Pavel, I can't imagine that they wouldn't come after Elon Musk, claiming the same sort of thing and the same sort of crimes. What do you think about that?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, to be quite honest with you, they already have. Thierry Breton, I mean, we got letters from him as well. It started with the Hamas, Israel-Hamas war, I guess that's to say. But it started with that, and they were saying that, you know, we have to make sure you're not allowing misinformation on there. And our response was, what qualifies you to say something is misinformation? Are you there?
Well, yeah. No, misinformation means that you're disagreeing with the government. That's really what it means. That's
exactly
misinformation
these
days.
Guys, yeah, and we've seen it certainly with Musk. I mean, Thierry Breton seems to threaten him weekly now. But, you know, honestly, to even go back just a little bit further here, if you recall, it was a really big incident where there was a priest in Australia who was stabbed in the neck on the altar, mm-hmm. and the authorities in the Australian government did not want that video on X. And they wrote letters to Musk saying, you have to take this down. And he said, what's your jurisdiction? Because there isn't any jurisdiction for Australia to come into a California company and say, you must take this down. And then the priest even got involved and said, this happened. I don't want this censored. So, I mean, it really comes down to, I don't understand where these people think they're entitled to be able to do this. I mean, it's all control. I'm with you 100% on that. I just think there is something, unfortunately, to the Telegram factor and the fact that they just didn't clean the things they should have been cleaning.
So I just want to make sure, clearly you're thinking that Telegram was dirty, had some problems there, and that's what they're arresting him for. But we shouldn't be suspicious just because the tyrants over in France did it. And believe me, I mean, liberté, égalité, fraternité, I mean, it's done. As far as I'm concerned, France and England are both dead zones for freedom of speech, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, and boy, didn't that just get shut down so quickly? Mm-hmm. I mean, to be quite honest with you, you know, we've been in business for 4 years, and we've been hurt by almost every single person we possibly could in every single country, including our own. But, you know, honestly, I would still always be suspicious. It's just, I know Telegram and I know how nefarious it is. I know how many people have, you know, been prosecuted from that already. And Telegram says they don't work with federal governments, but they do. They do, you know, respond to subpoenas and stuff. So there's a lot of dishonesty behind the scenes there. But I mean, again, when I heard it, I'm like, okay, well, they had to get him for something. It's got to be this whole free speech aspect. It's got certainly in the UK. I think it was Paris, if I'm not mistaken. So European Union, France, of course. And then, but, you know, when they came out and said that they're not cooperating, you know, we know there's child pornography there. I mean, I personally know it's there. So if they're trying to go ahead and shut this down based upon that, I really think it's going to be very bad for him. I don't think he's going to escape without prison time. And I don't think Telegram is going to be long for this world.
And I want to say, just to be clear from what you know, because you know of the stuff that's been on that channel then, deservedly so then. All right, so I'll change some of my opinion, but you can understand me being default distrustful of the Frenchies. When you're saying, oh, yes, money laundering and everything else. Yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, escaping your
I'm
European
you.
Union taxes,
again,
you jerks, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yeah, those guys telling me what I can post in Pittsburgh. I mean, come on now. Are you serious?
Yeah.
So, but it's I'm serious. I'm with you 100%. I really would. I did feel the same way 100%. I said they must have just got him because the lack of moderation. But when they really went in depth on what it was, I said, oh, God, yes, that stuff's there. It really is. And if you're not working to keep crimes off of your platform, they're going to find a way to find you complicit in it. So, you know, I hope everything works out, but I hope they also clean up their platform and they don't allow, you know, kids and you know, females to be trafficked on there. And, you know, certainly fentanyl drug trades and stuff going on behind the scenes as well. I there's no place for it.
Jason Shepherd, founder of Wimkin Social Media. I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts on that, Jason. And let's see, there's Wimkin Social Media, there's the fentanyl test, there's a date on the right. I'll put all your information up there, anything. What is probably your number one project right now? Is it the fentanyl test or something else that you got cooked up?
So, I mean, Wimkin is always very, it's always a daily aspect. I mean, we get attacked daily, almost hourly, in terms of DDoS, which is, you know, distributed denial of service, where people out there don't want us to be accessible. So they flood our networks. We can shut that down pretty easily. So that's still a problem, obviously. Right now, sort of date on the right is on the back burner because we do have the fentanyl test. We just got FDA approval in March and our CLIA waivers in June, the end of June. So we're ramping up tests, and now we're trying to get them. Well, we actually just finalized a deal to have, I can't say it yet, but the number one politician in the world, I think you know who I'm talking about, the most recognizable, about to come to our warehouse to announce that is going to be their solution to the fentanyl epidemic. So there's a lot in the works, my friend.
All right. Well, I look forward to keeping you in the room on something like that.
No,
right?
It's always a pleasure, truly. Always a very, very good conversation, and I learn from it, truthfully. So it's always great to be here.
The other thing I wanted to ask you before you take off here, since you are in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, how do you see Pennsylvania as the battleground state politically? I don't know if you consider yourself a big political analyst, but what's it like as you're hanging out in the Pittsburgh area? What's the vibe of the room? Sorry to use the Kamala Harris term, but what's the vibe in the room there?
No, so unfortunately, and you know, you giving your history of, you know, coming from here, Allegheny County, Erie County, Philadelphia area, which is Bucks, Montgomery, and Philadelphia counties. Those really carry the entire state, and, you know, it's scary. You know, you can literally go 250 miles through the entire center of the state, and it's completely red. And then you have those four counties that'll turn it, you know, into the Democratic aspect. So I'm very concerned about it. I mean, it's definitely Trump country, but, you know, Allegheny County will probably be at least 55-45
really?
to Harris. And I'm thinking, you know, the Philadelphia area will probably be about 65-35, and that's scary. It really comes down to Erie and a few of the other, you know, bellwether counties. So, but it's scary. I mean, because whoever wins Pennsylvania is most likely going to win this election. I mean, it's always that way. But this time, it's the most consequential election. And I don't understand how they do this, but the left has brainwashed their entire people. I mean, you have Democrats calling Trump a threat to democracy when they just stole democracy completely from their own, you know, constituents' hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The person who was their nominee didn't get one vote from their democracy. It's astounding, isn't it? Really is.
It is. And I don't know why they don't realize how they sound, but I mean, it's working, though. That's the sad part about it. It really is. And oh, we have just, I don't know if you ever saw that movie Idiocracy, but we are really there. I'm sure some of your listeners know what I'm talking
about. Oh, yeah. Well, next thing I'm sure we're going to see Kamala with Brando. It's got electrolytes, okay? I can't wait to see the ad.
Yes.
All right. So Jason, good talk as always. We'll have you back. You take care, all right? Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
727 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG.
When was the last time you had your well water tested? The EPA recommends that all private wells be tested at least once a year. If you can't remember when you had your water quality tested, it's time. Water quality can change radically from year to year, and you don't want to mess around. Grants Pass Water Lab offers next-day results for bacteria tests and a speedy 3 to 5 days for the full reporting that meets all state requirements. Online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for over 40 years.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I don't think the country yet fully understands the radicalism that is Kamala Harris. It looks like, you know, we're hearing rumors, I don't know for sure, that Kamala is now trying to put more demands on the one debate she's agreed to. Sounds like she's not only dodging, ducking any type of press conference, any type of interview, although they swear they're going to have an interview by the end of the week. They're going to do Rachel Maddow into friendly territory where she's not going to have to answer any questions about her radicalism. You got to be kidding me. I mean, that would not be a real interview. In any way, shape, manner, or form. She needs to be asked about every extreme radical statement that she's ever made.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, do you have big plans for Labor Day weekend? Well, let Blinds.com handle the heavy lifting. Now, Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale is almost here, but you can save right now on their best-selling window treatments during their spectacular Labor Day Early Access Sale. Now, Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments 100% online, and that means you're saying yes to upfront pricing. Now, Blinds.com has award-winning design experts. They'll offer free virtual consultations on your schedule. They can send you free samples right to your door, fast and free. Do the measuring and installation yourself, or frankly, let Blinds.com handle it all. They install unlimited window treatments for one low cost. Now, don't miss Blinds.com's Labor Day Early Access Sale. It's happening right now. Save up to 45% for a limited time. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Their Labor Day Early Access Sale going on right now.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED. And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
We'll be talking the recall and so much more going on in Joe County. Josephine County Commissioner Bear Trigger will be joining me here in the next few minutes. And Bob Hart with a deep dive on that conversation on Senate Bill 762 and the wildfire mapping deal. And by the way, OregonEagle.com has just an amazing, big, in-depth article on what was said at that meeting yesterday. If you want to check it out, just go to OregonEagle.com. Richard Evans, he's always guilty of committing journalism. And I appreciate being in cahoots and talking with people that commit journalism. I'm good with that. All right, 731. Let me talk about an email or two of the day. Emails of the day. And that is sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And if you don't have dental insurance, they have a dental program which is a lot like dental insurance, and it's usually better benefits and fewer restrictions and things like that. Just go to centralpointfamilydentistry.com, get your appointment, and you'll find them next to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant in Central Point, Freeman Way, okay? And I was talking earlier about the quality. You know, we were talking tariffs and things like that. Mr. Riley, I think, from National Taxpayers Union, and talking about the tariffs on clothing and everything else that Senator Wyden was discussing. My main issue is the fact that most of the imported clothes are just crap, just crap quality, just horrid. And I was mentioning how Nautica jeans that I had purchased for years, and they looked a little bit different from the standard jeans. They actually fit my oddly shaped body a little better than some. And that's always the challenge because I'm built like a fire plug, always have been. And the crotch is just tearing out. They just started changing the formula, thinning out the clothing, adding polyester, I think is what they do it, probably to make it stretchier, but it's not as durable. Tom Smith ends up writing me about this. Bill, buying jeans, frustrated with now liberal Levi, later disappointed in Wrangler quality, adding polyester to the cotton. Oh, that must be just like with the Nautica, right, Tom? I found a lot of happiness in quality and fit with Diamond Gusset jeans. They are made in the USA. I'm going to check that out, gusset.com. He says, I've used these now for about 10 years and remain appreciative of their quality, dabbling with cheaper jeans now and then with less satisfaction. The Carpenter model especially has front pockets deep, like I recall as a kid, you can carry a bullfrog in the pocket. That's pretty funny, Tom. But I cut the hammer loop off as it's too long and just as a safety issue, as it hooks on many things you can normally walk by safely without it. But he says they're expensive and one of those purchases that you cry once in paying or crying several times buying multiple times to get the same durability and a less comfortable fit. You can get an inexpensive pair on eBay to try it. I'll tell you what, I'll try a used pair on eBay and see what that's up and see if that works for me, Tom. But I appreciate the suggestion. But yeah, gets really frustrating. And it is something that, you know, most of what I see in the store is just not of good quality. Buttons falling off just routinely. And it's not the way it was. And don't tell me that that it's because of the machine. I think it's just people aren't caring and we're going for the lowest common denominator. And I guess we get what we pay for or don't pay for, as the case might be, huh?
This is Insurance Agent A.
Hey.
He sells for one company only.
It's the absolute best.
To my right, an exemplary insurance agent, an independent, which means
I can help you research multiple insurance plans, giving you a much better look at who actually has the better coverage.
Well, that's not fair.
That's not what our customers say.
Well, I can't compete with that.
Home, auto, health, life. Sky Park Insurance is your local independent agency that shops for the best coverage for less. Steve makes insurance easy.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com. Bill Meyer from KMED News. Here's what's going on. Heated criticism directed at Monday afternoon's meeting questioning Oregon State University and Oregon Department of Forestry concerning the draft wildfire hazard map program. More than 100 residents attended the Grants Pass meeting, while many county commissioners weighed in on the statewide Zoom meeting held in Salem. Oregon Eagle reports Jackson County Commissioner Dave Dotterer condemned the wildfire map, saying that they're fundamentally flawed, with 10% of the tax lots not being counted, saying it's bad information. Meanwhile, Joe County Commissioner Bearchigger asked about how the law added climate to causes of wildfires. He asked how climate affected major fires, which happened 100 years ago. Needless to say, condemning the MAP program. It's hoped by many attending that pressure will be brought to scrap the mapping program. Crews investigating a three-alarm structure fire that broke out at Roseburg Forest Products in Medford yesterday. Medford Fire checking out the venting system. Meanwhile, CAL FIRE announcing it's adding seven new C-130 air tankers into service. Air tankers previously a part of the U.S. Coast Guard fleet used for search, rescue, and cargo hauling. And the Oregon Employment Department has fixed a glitch in its new computer system that stopped the agency from paying jobless benefits to dozens of people who had previously been victims of identity theft. But the agency says more than 30 laid-off workers are still waiting for their money. Bill Meyer, KMED News.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands. So if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
Take the Long Way Home was one of four hit singles off Supertramp's 1979 album Breakfast in America. If you find yourself losing your sanity and taking the long way home because of growing cracks in your ceilings and walls, give Millett Construction a call for a free estimate to fix the damage and correct your foundation problem. Stop thinking you never see what you want to see because your home used to be so nice. With Millett's help, it can be again. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
Join us at the Expo for the best Rogue Broadband Brew Fest yet. On September 13th and 14th, this event features over 70 award-winning Pacific Northwest microbrews on tap. Just $20 for 5 tastes and a souvenir glass, or $25 for 10 tastes and a glass. And add 5 tastes for $5. And don't worry about missing the big game. Football will be on the big screens all weekend long. Remember when rock was young?
I'm still standing.
Catch great music and the Elton John Experience indoors on Saturday, the Rogue Broadband Brew Fest, September 13th and 14th. Brought to you in part by the Friends of the Fair Foundation. And don't forget, Scotty McCreery is at the Bi-Mart Amphitheater the next Saturday.
Drinking cab in a solo, solo in the cab of my truck.
Get your tickets now at theexpo.com.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED.
And we will have a Diner 62 Real American Quiz happening within the next hour or so. All right. Certainly before Markley Van Camp and Robbins come on. Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bearchigger back on the case. Herman, welcome back. Interesting
good
time.
Good morning.
Good morning. Interesting times going on. Gosh, I've been having a lot of conversations with Commissioner John West. Had Pat Fahey on yesterday, who, of course, is not real happy with John West, and he's running for Josephine County Commission. It's what is going on? What has happened to Josephine County politics? It's like, you know, Jackson County is stultifyingly boring when it comes to the county commission race. It's just kind of like a non-starter at the moment. But I don't know what's happening there, huh?
You know, it is. It's been a crazy week, and then all this madness over Lily Morgan and Gold Hill. Hey, what do you think the chances of the Courier printing an article about that? I mean, it was on Channel 5, Channel 12, and Channel 10, but I haven't heard a peep out of the Courier yet.
Well, I am amazed at the incurious nature of what's going on at the Daily Courier when it comes to the Lily Morgan, the recall, and of course, they'll go out there and say, well, here's the truth about the... I don't know. I can't help... I just wonder, though, if... they really can't go there because there's a certain narrative that must be upheld. That's just my opinion. So,
well, it shows me they definitely cater to who they think is buying their newspaper. I'll tell you that much. But anyway, I think that's just written news in the United States anymore. So, yeah, this is pretty crazy. You know, I listened to Pat Fahey say he doesn't have nothing to do with this or anything, and I'm looking at his Facebook page, and the first thing that pops up, posted 12 hours ago, is this big poster of Committee to Recon West and all the places you can go, and it's very well done. So they got some people that have really put in some time and money into this one, I can tell you that much.
All right. And yet I had a great difficulty getting a straight answer at first for a while. Well, I don't necessarily want to go there and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. It's I guess the thing is, it does look weird if you're being promoting a recall at the same time you're running for a different seat. So it appears that you're looking at getting a political faction of sorts going. That's what it would look like, right?
This is very well organized. It's very political. And I think the strategy is to tar and feather West. Whether they get the signatures or not, it's just we got a recall going on during election cycle. Tar and feather West, and then tie into some other candidates. I think that's the strategy.
Hmm. Okay. So anybody that came out and supports West who might be running is then going to be tarred by association. It's a guilt by association kind of thing, you think?
Yes, that's what they'll do. That's exactly what they'll do.
All right. I ended up having Jay Meredith write me. Did I send you the email Jay Meredith sent me?
If you did, I have not reviewed it.
Okay.
So
and I might have to just read both of them a little bit later on here, on the air.
Okay.
But a part of my eyes are just starting to glaze over with this recall situation, and my concern though is that. Is it misplaced to think that this is just the people who are butthurt over not getting their five commissioners, the revenge of that group? Is that what we're talking about or not?
Well, yeah. I mean, the 30,000 view of Josephine County is the Democrats are pouring in resources here. They believe they have the numbers to flip the county just like they've done in Bend. They haven't flipped Deschutes County, but they certainly have flipped Bend. And so we're not just Josephine County, but the Rogue Valley in general is targeted because the big picture is, Bill, if the Democrats get 20 in the Senate and they get 40 in the House in the Oregon legislature, they don't even need to ask the Republicans for anything. They can change the Constitution. They can do anything they want. And there's absolutely no way anybody can push back. That's the big picture.
How do you see that playing this particular election cycle? Does it look strong for Republicans or not?
I think they're a few election cycles away, but ultimately, unless Republicans get involved and start fighting at least as hard as the Democrats fight, we'll lose the state to the Democrats in whole within the next couple election cycles.
So one or two election cycles is about all we have left then, you think?
Unless we start fighting. We have the numbers to win and to push back. We just don't seem to have the motivation.
What is it about party politics or the party structure of the Oregon Republican Party and even some of our county Republican parties? They seem to be kind of missing in action. Am I off base by thinking that?
Well, no, there's a fundamental difference between a liberal mind and a conservative mind and when it comes to politics. The liberal mind, and it's the new progressive party, which has taken over the Democrat Party, as Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has well stated. They just live it. It's just part of their daily activities. Mm. It's just, and the conservative mind is, yes, this is something we have to do, but they don't live and breathe it like these new progressives. They just don't.
Are we also hurt by the demonstrable fact that the Republican Party in Oregon, going up against hard progressivism, is not largely a conservative party?
It's a mixed bag. It is a mixed bag. So some people are ultra conservative, and then, yes, some people are pretty moderate. But it is a mixed bag up there, I will tell you that.
Yeah. Well, my point being is that so often, gosh, I'm trying to think of who was the former state legislator who was saying, I don't care what type of Republican you are, as long as you have an R next to your name, you're in. What was his name up north?
Well, I said something similar to it. I said I would always take a moderate Republican in my caucus, or rather than a moderate Democrat in their caucus.
But yet, look at what moderates in the caucuses have done in the Republican Party. They essentially, you know, pass tampons in the boys' room type bills and do.
I blame that on leadership.
You do?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. When you're a caucus leader, you set the narrative, pretty much. You may have a few rebels out there once in a while, but most of the time you can reel them back in. But if you don't set the narrative, then it's just people run wild and do whatever they, you know. You got to tap them on the shoulder once in a while and remind them why they're here and why they're a Republican.
All right, Herman, I'm going to touch the third rail, okay? I'm going to ask you, because I'm a guy, you're a guy. But I can't help but notice that most of the people within the state legislature now are women. Are we looking at the difference between, you know, even a Republican woman in politics versus, you know, a Republican guy in politics and in the state legislature? All right. Have we reached a peak female influence then? And is there a difference in your view?
Well, you know, you can't help but, you know, when it comes to Republicans in the House, that there are more women than men, but there's more men than women in the Republican Senate. So that's just how it is. But I think what you shouldn't concentrate on whether it's a man or a woman representing a Republican.
But I can't help but notice that the rises of the Goodwins and the Drazens and everything else seem to all come out of the same sort of Vicky Breeze Iverson caucus deal, kingmaker type things, in which you know, I'm continually getting hit up for $5, $10, $15 from all of these grifters. You know, say, join this poll. Here, I'm here. We're going to defend your gun rights. Here, contribute $15 to Win Red and take this poll. And we're going to send a strongly worded letter to Tina Kotek or something like that. You see those things, all that crap which passes as political emails, you know, coming out of the Oregon Republican Party, folks.
I see them all, and they're just all fluff. They're, at the end of the day, they don't help us at all.
I agree, but that's just it. That's what we're kind of told. This strikes me. That's what the Republican Party is doing in Oregon right now, sending out the grift letters.
It's leadership, and so those are the leaders they're picking.
Okay,
I can't help that. I'm not sitting in that caucus room.
All right, and you don't want to be sitting in that caucus room either, I'm sure. All right, you're glad to be gone. All right. Let me shift gears here for a couple of minutes. I'm going to talk with Bob Hart, you know, land use planner here. And a consultant in just a few minutes. He's probably going to do a deeper dive on this. But yesterday was the Senate Bill 762, the wildfire meeting there. What was it? Oregon State University, Oregon Department of Forestry. And this was put on from by the Association of Oregon Counties. AOC would like to have this go away completely. Would that be a fair assessment, what AOC is hoping to do with SB 762?
I don't know what AOC wants to do anymore. I'm going to have some more conversations with them. So I'll let you know how that goes. That meeting yesterday was, listen, this is Gen Z sitting behind a computer dictating policy, and leadership in Oregon are going to figure out how to extract more money out of your wallet once they start implementing these new policies.
When you talk about Gen Z behind the computer, you're talking about the people implementing Senate Bill 762 in the state agencies, right?
Right. I asked the guy yesterday, man, this guy, he shot off, you know, I listened to him talk to all these other counties, and he's talking about fire in the landscape, and, oh, you know, that's my wheelhouse, you know, I'm an instructor in wildland fire science, and he's talking about all this and computer models and all this stuff, and I understand it all. And then when it was my turn to ask him, I asked him, how many years of fighting wildland fire have you had? Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Okay.
So it's all computer experience. Then he says, well, my team has a lot of experience. Well, you know what? If I'm the head heart surgeon at a hospital, shouldn't I have some experience in heart surgery instead of just saying, well, I can't, have, you know, my team of surgeons, they all have the experience. I don't.
But well, I know. I agree with you, but you know damn well Senate Bill 762 is not about stopping wildfire. There's nothing in it about stopping wildfire. Nothing.
There's nothing in this map that fire managers across the state already know. Nothing in there. This is a ploy. You watch. Fire costs for large landowners are going to decrease, and fire costs for the average Joe out there is going to increase when all the dust settles in a few years.
Now, why would large landowners be getting a cut in their costs, and small landowners getting an increase? Why would that be?
Because they cut a deal with Kate Brown 3 years ago, and the deal was they expanded the riparian setbacks, and they agreed to a bunch of changes in the Oregon Forest Practices Act. Now, why do you think they did that? You think they did that just because they're nice people?
No.
They share the brunt currently. They pay for the brunt of large fire costs along with the legislature out of the general fund.
So they're looking to socialize wildfire costs on their lands.
They would like wildfire to go down, large fire costs to go down on their land. The legislature would like to get general fund money out of large fire costs. So let's find another revenue source. What other revenue sources are out there, Bill, if we take general fund money out of large fire costs and we lower premiums for large landowners? Where else could they get the money to fill that?
They get it. They go after little people that don't have big attorneys.
Yep.
Hmm.
But let's go for a deeper dive in that next week. We want to touch on this crazy recall stuff.
Okay. So, as far as the recall stuff, as you wrap up the crazy recall stuff, what is the craziest stuff being claimed in the recall, and what's the reality of it?
Well, the one thing is the sportsman's part, because West wasn't even a commissioner when that happened. So, I don't know how. And when he was campaigning, if my memory serves me right, he took a neutral position when he was asked about it. So, I don't know why that. The other craziness is this pipe fork. I mean, you know, the will of the people, I pulled most of the minutes of who testified in Pipe Fork over the last 3 years.
And let's be clear about this, that this is a forest land that is owned by Josephine County right now. And supposedly it's very nice, it's very sensitive, it's open to the public right now. And the way you explained it to me, and I have no reason to doubt this, is that this was always about preserving it and keeping it open to the public until all of a sudden the tone changed from the supporters of the Pipe Fork sale, and they don't care if it gets locked away. And I would say, okay, now wait a minute. Why wouldn't you not care if it gets locked away if you were all about preserving it for this? But essentially, these were ideologues that want this away from the public, even though they pretended to be for the public at first. What's going on?
Well, I said I'd sign the contract if they put a deed restriction that it would remain open to the public. That's the same deed restriction we put in the Sportsman's Park. But Pat Fahey said, well, I don't know if attorneys can write that. We already did it. So, but the will of the people. So if you go back to the meetings, there's probably right around 25 people who testified on behalf of the pipe fork in support over the last 3 years. Now, they testified multiple times. So, you know, you got a lot of testimony, but it's really about 25 people. They had one meeting out in Williams, and I think a couple hundred people showed up to the town hall meeting in Williams. Is that the will of the people when you have 88,000 people live in a county and you have 200 people want to do something? Is that the will of the people?
Hmm. You know what you could do? Put it on the ballot. So I was just going to say. Let's find out what the will of the people is. And I'd be willing to bet you that having it locked up by the BLM is not something that they'd want if you were to make that an option.
Well, that, and also remember, and Wes points this out, it's also at about $400,000 less than our forestry department says it's worth. So, you know, there you have it. But so the end of that chapter is this. If they put a deed restriction in, it stays open to the public. We'll sell it. They can sell it to the BLM, and everybody goes on their merry way.
Well, what about Fahey when he said, well, what about if there's you know, danger to the community there, et cetera, that kind of thing?
Oh, it's- yeah, because of their water source. Well, we asked the water master. There is no water rights taken out on Pipe Fork, and there is no community water source in Williams, so I don't even know what they're talking about.
Okay. This is what I'm hoping you can – I don't know if you can do this as a county commissioner, and I'm putting my my tongue deeply in my cheek when I say this. But, you know, in the community water source in Josephine County, could you put a little lithium in it? You think that might be helpful with some of the craziness which is going on there politically in your town?
Well, they're just grasping at straws, you know. And, I seen a video that Jay Meredith and Lily Morgan and Tina Gotcha did, and it was just so full of twisted answers and misinformation. It was unbelievable. It's just, you know. And part of that, I'm going to tell you, Bill, I know you get tired of me harping on the Courier, but part of that is because the Courier doesn't print all the facts. So people read the Courier, they think that's the gospel or that's the facts, and then they get all mad.
Well, let's hope that more people practice journalism in Joe County.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, then they go on about the 4-H Extension Service. And, you know, that the biggest problem with that is all the smoking mirrors. Of course, you know, all the 4-H livestock kids, or I'd say 95% of them, have left. They started their own group. And so that leaves a handful of kids, most of them in the shooting club, which the leaders from the kids for Ag, the new group, they said they're going to reach out and they're going to try to see if they can accommodate the sporting, the shooting sports kids. So, but anyways, they've done great. So look at, they just had their auction this year, $860,000.
Wow.
I'd say that program, now this is a grassroots program and it's all run by parents. Government is not involved. So
maybe what's really going on here, Oregon State University and all of the various supporters of the Extension Service, maybe they're worried that more and more parents are just going to be walking with their feet and grabbing their kids out of the program, taking them out of the government programs and just doing grassroots things on their own.
It's kind of like what's happened with public schools.
Gee, do you think there's a possibility that you could still accomplish something with farming and with animal husbandry without the government's involvement?
Well, I think where OSU went kind of awry is when they put on their website, their webpage about diversity, equity, and inclusion. When they started going down that path, I think they started losing a lot of people.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one, Herman. I really would.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Have a good week. Have a great Labor Day holiday. And on Tuesday, when we return, a deeper dive on Senate Bill 762. How about that? All right?
That's right. And let's, you know, if people want to, you know, let's set a good chunk of time, Bill, if we can, because I think we ought to address, you know, people want to call in and talk about it a little bit.
All right. We'll do. We'll just keep it beyond our normal time. All right? I'll put you
in. All right. Thank you, sir.
Duly noted.